everyone, welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. This month, we have an amazing interview with Dr. Carol Barash. She is one of the most inspiring people I have met. She has a Bachelor of Arts degree in English from Yale University, a Master of Arts degree in English from the University of Virginia, and a PhD from Princeton. She is an award-winning author. She is also the CEO and founder of Story 2. Story 2 teaches students how to write powerful admission and scholarship essays using storytelling. Their question for you, where will your stories take you? We hope you enjoy this interview.
All right, hi, everyone. I'm with an amazing lady. Her name is Dr. Carol Barash. If you could please tell us a little bit about yourself and what Story is and how it got started.
So I'm the founder and CEO of Story 2. And in 2008, my middle daughter went to college and my youngest daughter went to boarding school, which was completely unknown to our family. And she weighed 90 pounds and she was 14 years old. And I looked at those 19-year-old football players and said to my husband, what have we done? But we smiled and we turned around and we left. We didn't look back. We wanted her to be strong and independent. And I was working at the City University of New York. And day by day, I started working longer and longer hours. I was more and more agitated. And one day, it was as if the room was spinning so fast that the windows turned into broken glass and into just colors spinning around the room. And I went outside. I called a friend who was a psychiatrist. I went to see him that afternoon. And he said, what happened? And I said, nobody knows me. When I went to college, I just put everything that happened to me when I was a child, things that shouldn't happen to anyone, I just locked them away in a box and I was going to start over in college. And I actually think a lot of people go to college with this idea of I'm just going to start again. My past, like it's as if it's not there. And he said, well, do you want to talk about it? And I said, no, it's like safe over there in that box. And then he said, Carol, you're an author, you're a writer. I invite you to go back into that box as the narrator, not Carol the character, but the narrator who can see what everyone did and why they did it and just be peaceful with all of it. Everyone did the best they could at the time. And then figure out what you want to do with your own stories in the present. He said, I invite you to do that. And when you've done that, I invite you to teach it to other people. And I went back to my office at the City University of New York, and my boss, Dean Ann Kirshner, an amazing inspiration and mentor, she said, Carol, I want you to teach storytelling to our students. They can't get jobs. I want you to teach them how to tell their stories in cover letters and interviews so they can get better jobs. And in one day, two people had told me about storytelling. And so I started studying storytelling. And I saw that things I believed in and wanted to do my whole life, that our human brains already knew how to do them, that evolution had given us this tool of storytelling, which combines reason and empathy and fun. And I started studying storytelling, and I've been teaching storytelling ever since. I started Story 2 officially in 2014 when we started building software to really scale this idea of teaching storytelling to high school and college students to help them launch their careers, their education, their ability to advocate for themselves and their dreams. I mean, I have a PhD in English, but I've been working at the intersection, a PhD in English from Princeton, which has done amazing things for me. I've been working at the intersection of education and technology and community building the entire 21st century. Like, I've been doing this a long time. So,
oh, that's such an amazing story. And I appreciate all the work that you've been doing to help students across the nation. I remember seeing your Story 2 post on Reach Higher social media about 4 or 5 years ago. You were gracious enough to meet with me on a phone conference, and I believe we were the first school in the nation to get this platform free. Can you share a little bit about that story and what you remember?
Well, I remember trying to figure out how I could get to Reach Higher, because what Michelle Obama was doing was so amazing. And I thought if we could connect with that platform, we could get to a lot of students. And we had, you were, Priscilla, the first person who ever said, you know, out loud to me, at that point we were giving it free to individual students through Reach Higher and through Better Make Room. And you said, well, most of my students are below the federal poverty line and my school doesn't have enough money to buy this. Like at any price, could you possibly give it to, you know, let us have it, use it free. And I had this, you know, feeling that I think I inherited from my first generation parents and my grandmothers who didn't even finish high school, that if you can do something to help other people, you should figure out a way to do it. And so, like I said, yes, like you asked nicely and sweetly and your students needed it. So I said, yes. And ever since I've been working to build a product that we could give to every, you know, that we could, a holistic free product, online product that could help every student. And we were really close when COVID hit. And when COVID hit and we had our first big team meeting, everybody said, college admissions is completely disrupted this year. We need to give our software to everyone. And so we made that decision as a team. And so now that's a pillar of our commitments in the college admission space, the college access space.
It's such a great story because this is my 16th year starting as a school counselor. And when I first talked to you, it was my first year at the current school I'm at. And I have never worked at a school where it was over 90% low income. So we were trying to figure out ways to help our students go on for more education or training. And I'm so grateful that you were able to help our students that year to get it started. And then, you know, that whole year, the students were able to access it. And then the English department, they were gracious enough to the following year implement a senior project that included personal insight and statements for our students, whether they were going to college or not, because it could even help them, like you said, with job applications and scholarships. And just to see that this has gone nationwide and your work and what you've done is going to impact so many people. So I know just at my school, like how many it impacted, I can just imagine across the nation.
Thank you for asking. You know, I think everyone should remember that you get 0% of the things you don't ask for. And often if you have the courage to ask, like people want to say yes and people want to help. And so it's great that you ask. Like I owe a lot to that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, thank you. How can seniors access the platform? So what can we tell students right now? They just go to the website and...
So students, for Riverside County, the Riverside County Office of Education has purchased Story 2 live online boot camps, which is the next step up from the free offering, has purchased that for the entire county. So what students should do is talk to their counselors, their school counselors, and there's a special login. There's a special URL to use to get into the Riverside County program. And the students should use that because they get all sorts of extra perks with that package. Like we're gonna do a custom boot camp on the California personal insight questions and how to respond to them. We're doing that just only for Riverside County. So I would say if you're a counselor, check with Sherry and Catalina. If you're a student, check with your college counselor. But the whole county has access to this.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then if they're not in our county, they could always just go to the website and get the free platform.
Yeah. So if you're not in Riverside County or another place like the District of Columbia where everyone has access, the URL is storybuilder.story2.com/register. And that's the free registration and any student anywhere in the world can use that.
I think that's great that we get to track the data, you know, for our site and see like what our students are using and how many of them are logging in. So that was a great idea. How does Story 2 help students with applying for college, searching for a new job, or strengthening their community?
So the first thing we do is, since the human brain loves stories and we're attracted to people who tell vivid, specific stories, the first thing we do is we teach students how to tell their stories out loud, how to be comfortable talking about their own experiences out loud. Then we teach them how to take one of their infinitely many stories they have from their own lived experience and how to use that story for a specific outcome. So you shape your story in one way for a college essay. That's a, you know, college essays, personal insight essays, supplements, scholarship essays are very much about your character. You know, like, what can I count on you for? If I give you this scholarship, how are you going to make a difference in the world? You know, how are you going to go from what you've already done to something in the future? So that bridging of your past into the future, that promise of your future, it's all the college essays are all about your character and your future. Like a job interview is a very different situation. There's a job description and and you want to match your skills, your experience, and your temperament with the specific roles and responsibilities of that job description. So preparing your resume, your cover letter, your interview is matching what you've done with the requirements of a job. You don't have to have all the requirements, then you'd be applying for the next job, but you need to be able to show that you can do most of them well, and the ones that you don't already have, you have a path to learn them. So those are really, the strategies are different.
Yeah.
We always start with storytelling, and then how do you use storytelling to connect with people to move your aspirations forward?
And what things are the students required to upload? Like, is there a video or what specific things do they need?
So all you need to use Story 2 is you just need to be able to either talk or type. And the software, the magic of the software is you tell your story and the secret sauce, and the software listens to your story and transcribes it for you. So you have a first draft of your story without having to write. If you prefer to type it out, you can also type it. But most of us, myself, when I get stuck in my writing, I start talking out loud and walking around the house. And if I walk and talk, the thing that's like stuck in my head, like it starts moving, like, you know, the water's flowing again. And most people have that kind of very physical relationship to language. And so that if you activate speaking, if you make it like, if you make communication a physical thing, speaking, moving, it's just much easier than sitting still and just typing. Like even writing by hand most people are more fluent and more persistent if they're writing by hand because it's a physical act. And storytelling drives, you know, like when you tell stories, you want to do things. It's a very activating kind of communication. So you can either speak or write your first draft. And then we teach you how to find specific moments, like going from general experiences, very specific moments of growth and change that just demonstrate who you are and what you know how to do. And do you have persistence? Do you have compassion for other people? You can show those through stories. And then once you have a specific story, how to structure it with a three sentence story so you can remember it and you can tailor it to different audiences. And then sentence by sentence, replace general language, cliches and thoughts that happen in your head with things that happen in the world with other people. Stories happen in the world with other people. That's what makes them so powerful and so important, is that it's not what you thought. It's not what you learned. It's not what you realized. It's like, what'd you do next?
Yeah. And what I remember with the audio portion was like our students didn't all have laptops or technology to access that. So even in the library, they weren't able to record. But this year, it's like the perfect year to do this because with the districts and the county and obviously probably across the nation, students are getting their technology, laptops, Wi-Fi, and they're still in the process of getting those. So this is the perfect platform. And from what I understand, what you said earlier, this can be used across the nation for any college they apply to?
Yes, across the nation. We have special courses on-demand courses for personal statements, supplements, scholarship essays, the California Personal Insight Questions, Apply Texas, and there's an interview course. And those are all available to students all across the nation. And there are also some courses in there just to help launch your career. So there's a course about resumes, cover three courses, resumes, cover letters, and interviews, and then a career story essentials course. So once you have your stories, how do you use them in a career context rather than a college context? I think a lot of people right now, a lot of students, because COVID has disrupted so many things, are thinking, you know, college versus career. And we want students to go to college. We want students to go to college with a path through college, you know, with as little debt as possible to a really strong launch to their professional life and a good personal life after college. But I think more and more this, I don't know, there was a time when, you know, it was high school, college, career, kind of in that order. And now I think it's much more confusing and complicated. And students are kind of looking at all of this all at once. And it's our job to help them have a vision of where they're going, and then to do the strongest, smartest, boldest thing they can do for themselves right now. Because, you know, growth is this balancing of your purpose and your vision in the world. Like, what am I here to do? And what do I need to do today?
Yeah, that's so true. Everything's so unknown and students are still making their decisions.
Yeah.
As far as like educators, how can we help students navigate the Story 2 platform?
So just get them on there, because students, 99% of students say that even if they've, you know, used Story 2 for like five minutes, that they learned something they can put to use immediately. And because they're telling stories, they really can, they'll enjoy it and they'll work through it and they'll learn a lot. So just get them started. I think the other thing is, right now we're really thinking about seniors and helping seniors finish their essays and complete their college applications and have enough faith that things will be right by fall a year from now, to that they can count on this and that they need to finish this. Then, you know, come juniors in the spring, or maybe even now. And we have found in our work with the Student Leadership Network schools in New York City and the Heckscher Foundation for Children in New York City, that students who start working on their essays spring of junior year, like before they're actually applying to colleges, that those students who tell stories about themselves, where they're coming from and where they're going, are more likely to complete college applications in the fall.
Yeah.
And so that early thinking about who am I and what am I bringing to college? Not what do colleges want from me, but what are all the things that make me uniquely curious and suited for college? Like doing that early, putting the student in the driver's seat and nurturing their creativity. And don't worry about, like, you know, grammar or any of that stuff. This is about dreaming and planning and purpose.
So just telling your story.
Yeah, just getting them out of it and starting early. And also, you know, as someone who was told by both her college counselor and her English teacher that, like, I wasn't good enough to go to the colleges I wanted to go to.
Wow.
And I didn't listen, you know.
That's good, yeah.
I applied to Yale, I got into Yale, I got into lots of other places, but I didn't listen to them. So I would say, you know, like, so maybe students won't get into their first choice college, but I would say let them figure that out themselves. Don't make that decision for them. And you just don't know. Like, you just don't know what, you know, what ache, what wound, what trauma a student might be carrying around. And I don't think you know who they'll become, you know? Like, there were, the example I always give is, you know, I refused to wear a uniform in gym class. And so I got a C in gym. I was just being, like, independent. And I didn't want to look like everybody else. And, like, to the guidance counselor, that was bad. None of you would do that, but
well, guidance counselors don't exist anymore. We now have school counselors. So I can tell you, we wouldn't do that because
I'm showing my age, but, and you know, my English teacher just didn't get what I was trying to write about ever. And so, but I think as a teacher, as an educator, it's important to be humble. And it's important to just really listen and draw out of the student, like, where they want to go. Like, we're so busy. We have so many, you know, so many students, so many responsibilities, that sometimes it's like fast and it's hard to just be with them and listen to them one at a time.
Yeah.
But that's a tremendous gift. And I think that's the thing that only the counselors and the only the educators can do. You know, the teachers and the counselors, we don't know them like that. You know, so that's really important. And, you know, I would ask, if a student gives me a draft of an essay to read, you know, if they send it to me by email or something, I always say, well, what do you want me to read this for?
Yeah, who's the audience?
Yeah. And so, like, really, really let the students be in the driver's seat and empower them to make decisions for themselves. I think that's so important.
Yeah, it is important. I'm with you. There's been a lot of times in my life where people had discouraged me from, I couldn't do certain things and I was able to do it. And yeah, but I think one of the things that students struggle with, or even us as humans, sometimes, like, it's hard, like you said, like with the humility part, we have a hard time sharing our story. So the thing I run into with students is, I don't want to brag about myself, but they don't understand that this is about you getting into college or your job application. So just breaking down those barriers with the students and helping them to realize, like, you know, this aspect of your life is something that you really need to showcase.
Yeah. So, you know, there's the things you put on your resume, like there's the official things, right?
Yeah.
And then there's all the other things that maybe most people don't know about you. And I think the thing that's so hard about personal statements, college admission essays, which only exist the way they exist here, only in the United States, like other places do it differently, is that you're being asked to reveal personal things. And not everybody's equally comfortable revealing personal things.
Yeah.
And some students, like, want to rush to make it happily ever after. Some students just want to keep it, like, general and not specific. And some students maybe just haven't even thought about what makes them unique. You know, teenagers try to be like everybody else. They don't try to be unique, mostly. They try to fit in. And so the whole exercise, I think, is challenging for adolescents developmentally.
And I think one of our teachers had a great question. She wanted to know, as a teacher who has worked closely with seniors who struggle to write personal essays, it surprises her every year that so many students feel that they don't have any stories worth telling. The crazy thing is that those who seem most resistant to share a story usually have the most amazing stories. How do you create a safe space for sharing stories and also emphasize the importance and uniqueness of each student's story?
So that is my, you know, that's my North Star, is to create that safe space, that judgment-free zone at Story 2, in everything we do online, which is challenging because online's not always safe. So first of all, we don't ever share anybody else's stories. Like, our stories are a really intimate and important part of ourselves. But this idea of the judgment-free zone, I was having dinner with my daughters one night, and somebody's friend had done something bad behind the gym. I can't remember what it was because I promised I wouldn't tell anybody. And they were giggling and they didn't want to tell me. I'm like, okay, guys, I just, like, thought of it in an instant. I didn't, like, plan to say this. I said, we're gonna declare that this kitchen table is a judgment-free zone. Whatever you tell me, unless somebody's, like, life is in danger, it'll be our secret. I won't judge it. I won't do anything with it. Just, like, tell me what it is. And it was like the kitchen got bigger and they just started gabbing about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And ever since working with, you know, young adults, I tried to create that, you know what, you can tell me anything. You might decide you want to tell other people or not, but, like, whatever you say to me is safe with me. I don't gossip. I don't share stuff. And we've really built that culture.
Yeah.
Story 2. There's really two parts of that, right? One is everybody has tons of stories. Like, you might think you don't have any, but every moment of your life is a story. And then there's, how do you create the safe space so somebody can tell the story? And not everybody's like ready at the same time. Take some patience, take some courage. You know, not every story that you need to tell to be comfortable in your own shoes, in your own life, in your own skin. Not all of the stories that you need to tell are stories that you want to tell, say in college admissions or a job interview. So figuring out, you know, that, okay, I'm watching my life like a narrator and those, everybody did the best they could at the time. Which stories do I want to tell to college, you know, in college admissions? Those people have a big decision to make about my future. What do I want to tell them?
That's true. One of the most difficult things to teach students is how to show instead of just to tell their story. What helps make it easier for students to include more showing and to understand what that sounds like?
So that's 100% the practice of storytelling, is replacing judgments and criticisms and interpretations, things that happen in your brain, in your head, your thoughts, with things that happen in the world with other people. And when you show something that you did with other people, what happens, first of all, you excite yourself. Your memories, your emotions, and your desire to act are all triggered at once when you tell a story. So stories, you inspire yourself and you want to take action. So that in itself is great. But when somebody reads your story or listens to your story, those same three things happen in their brain. And through a process that neuroscientists call mental mirroring, when I tell you a story, you remember things from your own life that are related to what I'm talking about. So if I'm talking about food, you might get hungry. You might remember, if I talk about my grandmother's chicken, you might remember your grandmother's chicken, or you might remember your grandmother's pasta, like those connections. But that mental mirroring, you know, my brain and your brain are having the same like chemical, biochemical reactions, whether I'm telling a story or you're telling a story.
Yeah.
That is what allows us to be different and in community. Like that is the heart of the ability, our ability to build diverse communities. And so whenever you do that, you know, you shift from saying, well, I really believe in diversity, to I hire people based on what they uniquely add to our team. Like the first one is a generalization and like really doesn't mean anything. It's quite politically charged, but doesn't mean anything specific. But the other one, well, that's what I do. That when I have to make a decision, that's the process I follow to make a decision. Do you, like, if you start doing that and replacing those generalizations with specifics, people will know you a lot better. And it's a practice like, you know, like meditation or yoga or prayer. Storytelling puts you in the present, like those things.
Yeah, that's so true. As you were saying all that, I was thinking about my grandma's chili that she would make with her chicken and different things. So yeah, those are great memories to look back on. Teachers can appreciate the power of telling a story out loud. And your program has tools to help students start by telling their story out loud and recording it. Are there any resources, like maybe a podcast or something, you can recommend to help students start listening to other stories in that format?
So that's a great question. So there's several. So there's The Moth. The Moth is has lots and lots of stories by great storytellers all around the world, I think. And then also StoryCorps, Story CORPS, is a national database of stories. People have told their stories out loud and recorded them, and they're saved in the Library of Congress. And those are both tremendous online resources, fabulous, stories that are just rich with details and also just rich with the complexity and diversity of the U.S., you know, community. Like, just, we're such a diverse country, and you know, stories of people of different ages and stages of life and people who've overcome different things. So both The Moth and StoryCorps are great resources.
Okay, that's awesome. I'll have to check them out. Do you have any story too, success stories or data stories to share?
I have lots of success stories. I have a
That's awesome.
my son, who really encouraged me to start Story 2. He said, you know, Mom, you love teenagers. He's like, most parents put up with us, but you really love us.
Aww.
You should start a company to help, you know, young adults. And that was part of the founding of Story 2 was just my son, who's named after my father, you know, really encouraging me. And it's my second company. And sorry, ask me your question again, Priscilla.
So is there any like a success story you'd like to share?
Yeah, so success story. So success stories, there are a lot. I'm going to tell you a story of somebody I've been in touch with for 6 years. And his story is in an article about Story 2 that was in the Washington Post. His name is Abdullah Abodai. He's an immigrant. He was a refugee from Iraq. He spent several years in Jordan and then landed in Georgia in a school, you know, kind of rural school. And he arrived in ninth grade and he had to pass state tests to get to 10th grade. And he'd lost so much time, he felt, in Jordan that he just really wanted to get on with his schooling. And so he passed all the state tests. He studied English from a dictionary. And he did that test first, and then he did the other tests. And his transcript had all of these like C's for passing those tests. For passing the state tests, he got C's. So it's his junior year, and he is using our software. And through this Georgia Youth Scholars Program, which had purchased it for their students. And he sent a message that said, I need your help. And I called him later that night and he told me his story about surviving a bomb to his school in Iraq.
Wow.
And feeling like he really owed so much to being alive.
Yeah.
But he had these grades that were C's, and so his GPA was horrible. And so his writing was great and his essays were great. And I just like helped him work the system. Like, don't worry about this, do this, you know.
Yeah.
And it all worked out. But he and I became really amazing friends. And we had dinner together in Atlanta. And and now he's applying to medical school. And
this, such a great story.
I see these stories all the time. Like, I see these young people who have just overcome tremendous, tremendous odds and work so hard to help other people. You know,
yeah.
Become doctors, become engineers, become teachers. And so my life is just filled with inspiring young people. In terms of data, 88% of our students improve their writing. 94% report increased public speaking confidence. And almost everyone, 99% of the users of our software say that we taught them something they can put to use immediately. So
yeah.
Those are the three things that we've been tracking since 2014. There are other things. We have focused on making the neuroscience of storytelling accessible to all people, just help all people communicate more easily and effectively through the science of storytelling. But the thing that inspires me is just seeing students who overcome tremendous odds. You know, a student who didn't get into a special summer program and then shows up anyway, and there's a space and she gets to do it and she becomes the head of the class. You know, like you just never know what magic is just below the surface in young people and what they'll do with it and where they'll take it. So, I mean, I have a great job. I get to work with
you. Yeah, you too.
I have a great job.
Yeah, and you have such great stories and that data is amazing. If you get a chance, if you could send me that article, I would love to read it about that student you kept in touch with. And
I will. That story has that in the Washington Post has the college essays of five students who worked with us, all of them having just amazing stories and amazing essays. And it has a picture of me me and Abdullah having dinner in Atlanta.
Oh, that's awesome. You talk about beating the odds. We do a beating the odds summit every year, and ours is coming up in September. And we have former students come that are currently in college or military enlisted, talk about how they beat the odds. And then we also have like a couple adults that are really inspiring in our community on our panel. And I'll send you that once we do it this year. This year it's going to be virtually. So that'll be fun because we've never done a virtual beating the odds.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you have any scholarships that Story 2 is offering this year, or is that something you guys were thinking about?
So everyone can access the on-demand courses and our software, Story Builder software, the writing platform, at no cost for the class of 2021. And we've reduced the cost of our boot camps. So students can purchase a package of unlimited boot camps at a really reduced price on our website for $10. So the boot camps were something that we created for schools to help students just use the software and finish an essay. Because we were finding that the teachers would assign it and the students would get started, but they wouldn't like get the whole way done. And even if the school had purchased feedback, the students were hesitant to submit their essays for feedback. So we created the boot camps to walk the students through the Story Builder software step by step. So the promise of the boot camps is you'll get your essay done.
Nice.
There's one for a first draft, and then there's one for editing. And those unlimited boot camps is really the best deal in town around college essays, because you'll do the work yourself. You know, no one's going to edit it for you. No one's going to write it for you. You'll learn how to do it. You'll do it yourself. Wherever you start, we'll help you get it done. So then you'll learn the skills so you can apply them to other situations.
Okay, I have a couple more questions. What is your why for this work? And is there anything else you would like our listeners to know?
My why. When I was in 11th grade, the last week of my father's life, he was at home. And I would come home from school. I mean, he'd been sick for a couple of years, and there were all sorts of things he taught me. But that last week, he said a couple of things that really, really stuck with me. And one of them was, it's not about yourself. It's about what you give to other people. He just had this very strong orientation to giving to other people and make a life of giving. And then I think the other thing he said was, he had this idea about me that I was going to do something like, you know, he was dying, and he was just like in and out of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And he had this, he's like, I just see you doing something that doesn't exist yet. So be patient. And when I found storytelling, I really felt like I'd found that thing that he had seen in the last days of his life. And I know from my own experience of storytelling that you can be present to things, traumatic things that have happened in the past, and be safe in the present. And that you can also see how any situation has multiple points of view. And my North Star is helping people to build communities that honor those multiple points of view. Because that's how storytelling evolved in the human species, to allow that kind of multiple, you know, communities with multiple perspectives. And I feel like we are as a nation and as a human community, like struggling to get to that place where we can be present to our own reality and also other people's reality at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's what guides me. That's my why, is that multiple perspectives, honoring everyone's, what's real for each person is whole and complete for them as they are today. That's really what drives me in this work. And I believe that the more people we can teach how to tell their own stories authentically and powerfully, will just unleash more, you know, positive good in the world. So
yeah, and that's such a great story. And I could tell your dad was such an amazing guy, and he's obviously influenced your life. And look at you now, you're doing such tremendous work across the nation. the last part of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. So can you tell me at least one thing that's made you happy this week or this summer?
Oh, wow. So yes. So my youngest daughter, the one who went away to boarding school, she, because of the pandemic, she came to live at home again. She and her boyfriend and her boyfriend's mom and her boyfriend's sister. And so the four of them and me and my husband, the six of us were living together in our house. And our daughter was home for longer than she'd been at home since she went away to boarding school. So since the summer after eighth grade. And I really, I got to know her for the first time in this very just daily, you know, intimate way you get to know the people you live with. So that there were, I think that I've had a lot of COVID gifts, but that's the biggest one.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm also, if I can have a second one.
Yeah, you know, go ahead.
COVID has taught me that we just can't run away from things. Like sometimes we have to sit and just accept that there's a huge amount of stuff that we can't control. And it's scary, but we're going to be okay. And I think that just ability to sit and not run is also just, I feel quite joyful about that. It's really strengthened my faith and my resolve just about very basic things.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. So everything that you're saying is so true, because I was thinking about my Sunshine Spotlight, and it truly is, gratitude's really gotten me through this whole pandemic, and thinking about you and finally getting to meet you, even though we've talked on the phone. So I really am grateful to meet you and also to interview you and all that you've done for our students. So I hope that you continue your great work, and if you ever need anything, reach out. And I just want to thank you again for being on our podcast. If you could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you, Priscilla. And remember, tell the stories only you can tell, and tell them as only you can tell them. It's a gift from you to the world. And I hope that I get to hear your stories one day. Thank you so much, Priscilla, for everything you do for students all the time, and for inviting me to be with you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.